What's up, Nashville? Good Thursday. Hope you're having a great start to your day. Chase McCabe, Nick Frazier hanging out with you. And it is a nice day. Walking out with a little chill in the air. It feels like football. That's what I like about it. But very, very good start with that. Always love the weather. And you know what? We woke up with some decent news, even though we heard it yesterday. It was kind of touch and go there for a minute with Treylon Burks. He got hurt in practice there in Minnesota. Jared Stillman going to join us at 10:30 from Minnesota, so we'll kind of get his take on everything that he's seen to this point. But Burks was carted off the field. We were all speculating. It looked like a pretty bad knee injury. And then, according to reports, Ian Rappaport of the NFL Network was the first to put it out there, I believe, an LCL sprain. So that is the best-case scenario, in which he'll only miss a few weeks. So that is good news. We'll I think we're hearing from Mike Vrabel today. Vrabel spoke before practice yesterday, so he did not address it after practice. I didn't really understand why he was speaking before practice, but nonetheless, that was the plan. So today he will go after practice. So Vrabel will go after practice today. And so I'm sure we might get something, from him. But anyway, better than an ACL or meniscus or anything like that. Nick, how are you?
Doing well. Last night went to trivia night. Willie Donick did a phenomenal job. Came in last place, unfortunately. Nick Keyser and I were on the same team along with Junie. And, we got the trophy for the prize, even though it was last place.
Oh, wow. You got last place, last place trophy?
We wagered it all. We were in last place with 63 points, and, if we ended up getting the right answer, we would have, I guess, leapfrogged all the way up to fourth. So it was more of a prideful moment not to go
okay.
in last.
Okay. Well, that very cool. Glad it was a good turnout for Willie. I know he'll be talking about that today. But, we mentioned Treylon Burks. That is the big story of the day, and I kind of want to go through this whole process of where we were. Like, I'm done with my show, and I go out to get some lunch, and I turn, I'm listening to Caroline, Willie, and D-Mace, and basically just hear the oh no, just the breaking news that it had happened. Jared pops on during practice, but first, of course, since Vrabel didn't speak after practice, the players did, including Ryan Tannehill, the Titans quarterback, and he was asked about Treylon Burks and the injury.
What did you say to Treylon, and how tough is that to have that happen in the practice?
Yeah, just went over, checked on him. You hate seeing that. We'll find out more information and see what's really going on, but hopefully it's going to be all right. I think he seemed obviously upset and understandably so. Just thoughts and prayers are with him right now, and hopefully it's not too bad.
Yeah, if you go watch the video that's on Twitter or X, whatever it is, it looks bad. Like, you are sitting there going like, oh, this is not going to be good. And so immediately you start thinking, okay, well, what does this mean? He was having a really good camp. Everybody thought that he was going to take a huge step forward. And with the addition of DeAndre Hopkins, those two were going to be a tag team. But I just kind of made myself go, okay, let's just wait. Let's wait and hear what the reports are. But, I also pay attention to what people say, and D-Mace is one of those people. And this was kind of his reaction when he was looking at the video and what might be.
The way he looked, it doesn't look good. It really doesn't look good. He didn't want to put any pressure on that left leg at all. So whether it's a knee, an Achilles, or a quad, a calf muscle, whatever it is, it hurt him to the point where he didn't want to put any weight on that left side. So hopefully it's not as bad and that he will be able to come back sooner rather than later.
Well, and it's not. And so that, again, that is the good news. But I think you have to be careful, in a situation like that. You don't want to put too much weight on it. You don't want to aggravate it even more, injure it even more, and ultimately it seems that that's that he didn't, and it's an LCL sprain. And you, if you go look at my Twitter feed, you just see I quote tweet Teron and just say crap, and then say big news when the Rappaport tweet comes out that it was an LCL sprain. I mean, I was just like, oh no, and you were sitting here while it was all breaking.
Yeah, after the show, I saw you in the hallway, and I was like, what do you think? And you're just like, it just doesn't look good. And I was like, oh, no. That's my thought. I was like, oh, no, the rest of the day. And then when I got to trivia, Willie goes, hey, good news about Treylon Burks. I was like, what? And so I looked. I was like, LCL. I was like, oh, yes.
Yeah, well, it's funny. Like, I always – it's not funny, but, I mean, for me, I always think the worst. You know, that's just like – I'm like, it's an ACL. He's out for the year. Like, this – you know, once again, they're going to lose a key player for the year. And – turns out to be an LCL. And I don't know the exact timeline of that and how long he's going to miss. I mean, well, here was some of Charles Robinson this morning on Robbie and Rex Road. Joins him every Thursday at 8 and talking about the injury.
Well, it was scary. I mean, I saw the video and, you know, it looked like there was a hyperextension. And the first thought I had was just sort of the way, having been on the field and seen meniscus tears before, that's what I thought it was. I was like, oh, no, hyperextension. He tore the meniscus. Like, how bad is this going to be? So an LCL sprain is not great, you know, but it's more manageable. It depends on the grade of the sprain. So is it a couple weeks? Is it 6 weeks? How conservative do you want to be with him coming back with it? It stinks to me because, you know, that's a player that I think was ready to take a huge step forward this year. I talked to prior to even visiting, talked to people in the building, and they were really happy with just him being a part of the program and not having, you know, last year he missed so much time kind of coming into the season, and it was such a tough start, and then he took that rough hit during the season, the end zone, and it just was a lot to kind of get him together.
That was Charles Robinson earlier this morning. So now that we know that it's not season injury, a season ending, unless, you know, something else comes out, but is you know, we know what it is now. What does that mean for the roster? So as Mike Vrabel and Rand Carthon collaborate on this roster, you know, there's been some pretty interesting battles at receiver, you know, below Burks. We obviously knew Burks was going to be the one or the two, however you want to look at him and Hopkins. But now, I mean, I kind of feel like because you may not – let's just say you may not have him for week one. Well, you can't put him on any kind of, you know, you're probably not going to put him on PUP definitely not IR, because you put him on IR before the season starts, he's out for the year. So you're basically going to have to take a roster spot with him. But, you know, do you want to just go 1 week with five receivers, or do you feel like you need the extra receiver? You know, that is, and you know, if it's really close, like if it comes down to Reggie Roberson and Colton Dowell, like, does that affect your decision at all? And maybe you take away from another position to add that extra receiver to give you depth. You know, that just, it raises more questions, and they already had questions at that position.
Yeah, I don't think they would, I guess, carry, you know, another wide receiver if Treylon Burks is not able to go. I would say they'd be more confident in their double tight end sets. If I'm the Titans, I mean, you have enough tight ends on the team. Might as well try some double tight end sets, because you have versatile versatile tight ends like Wiley they just drafted, and obviously Chig. There is a lot of upside and potential for this upcoming season.
Well, so. And another aspect in that is you got Tajay Spears that can catch the ball. So, you know, you may look at it as, okay, well, if he's only going to be out a week or two, then we're going to carry five, which will six total, including Burks, but we'll carry five. Go with our plan, and then just rely on, like you said, those, you know, two tight end sets and Spears out of the backfield. So, it's the best case scenario, because I think we were all fearing the worst. We were all thinking they might be hitting the streets, you know, looking for something, or making phone calls on trades or what have you. I mean, you know, the first person I thought of, if this indeed was the case, was Corey Davis, and calling the Jets and seeing what the deal was there, or monitoring that situation, just because the Jets have a log jam at receiver. My guess is, you know, they may make a move at some point, but it looks like it's going to be relatively okay with an LCL sprain for Treylon Burks. I hate that. I mean, because I really liked, you know, them being able to work through the, you know, work through practices with Burks and Hopkins and Tannehill all getting on the same page. But unfortunately, he's going to miss some time. We'll, again, talk to Jared Stillman today at 10:30, get his thoughts on what he saw yesterday at practice. I know he was very complimentary of the defense, so we will do that at 10:30. We'll tell you about something the Predators have going on today. We'll do that at 9:30, and we're going to go around the NFL at 9:45, just kind of look at some big storylines around the National Football League. But coming up next, some general takeaways from the joint practice with the Vikings yesterday. You can weigh in, 615-737-1025. That's our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We're up and running here on a Thursday. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, the game.
Well, I mean, I think you want to have some exposure, but maybe not a whole lot other than just some personnel or some looks, you know, whether that's different fronts that we may see. You know, we'd like to have the players as prepared as possible, but also understanding that, you know, we didn't have a whole lot of time after Chicago, but we tried to give them a little bit. And then, you know, what has to happen is they have to go out there and use their roles and communicate. And, you know, we've talked about how critical the 11 guys on the field are, you know, communicating and making sure that they're on the same page.
Mike Vrabel, I'm not showing too much against the Vikings in joint practices. 102.5, 106.3, the game. Chase McCabe here with you on this Thursday, broadcasting live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Studios. Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. We'll talk a little bit about the Predators single game tickets going on sale coming up in just a little bit. But some takeaways from practice yesterday and what we saw there. Obviously, the big story was Treylon Burks, and that you know, that kind of overshadowed different things. And, you know, if you go and you read Jim Wyatt's column at TennesseeTitans.com, you know, he certainly talked about that. But, you know, and the players talked about that. But the defense is the story. That's what everybody has been talking about, that the defense had some really, really good looks against the Minnesota offense and Kirk Cousins and in their offense. Roger McCreary had an interception, as did Azeez Al-Shaair and Rashad Weaver. So three total picks on the day by the defense. You certainly love hearing that they were able to have that kind of success. And, you know, that was something that before we get to Tannehill, Kevin Byard actually said this. Byard talked about starting fast against the Vikings, and that certainly showed.
Changing the scenery and the opponent, how important was it for you to maintain that level of excellence?
Yeah, it's important because, you know, when we're on the road, obviously practice against a different team. The routine is different. We're at a different facility, different locker room. You know, you're sleeping in the hotel. So I think it's definitely big to come out here and start fast, bring our own energy. And I feel like we was able to do that today.
That was Byard. And they did that. I mean, you get three interceptions. I would say that's a pretty good start on the day by the Titans defense. So I like that. And because how many times have we talked about the uncertainty with the offense? Now Burks is hurt. The offensive line is still coming together. You know, I trust Tannehill. I mean, a lot of you don't, but I do. You still have Derrick Henry, but the defense is going to have to carry the water for this team. If this team is going to be successful at all and make the playoffs, it's going to be on the shoulders of the defense. And yes, I don't expect the Vikings offense to be all that great, but the fact that they can have a good confidence building day and look really good with three picks on Kirk Cousins, I'll take that.
Yeah, no, I think this Titans defense is going to be, I don't want to say it, but I'm going to say it. They're going to be elite this year. Like, we're talking like top.
Elite.
Elite.
You're going elite.
I am.
Define elite. What does elite mean to you?
Being in the top five in almost every category is a defensive stat.
Okay.
And I will.
You heard it here first. Nick Frazier says the Titans defense will be elite.
I will be standing by those words all season long. As long as they stay healthy, that word elite will stay by that defense as a title.
Okay. Wow. Interesting. This is interesting. What's the deal with Jarvis Landry? Why isn't he on the team? Did I miss something? I was Juice ever linked to the Titans?
I don't know. Let me look. Did something happen while we were asleep?
I don't think so. You mean Harold Landry? Harold Landry's on the team. But, I mean, look, I don't want Jarvis Landry at this point. And I think that's desperation if you get to that point. And then there's the offense yesterday. As Jim Wyatt says, quote, "The offense struggled mightily out of the gate in one-on-one versus the Vikings DBs. DeAndre Hopkins made a nice catch to start things off in this period, and Kyrus Jackson had a nice catch. But I counted more misses than catches in this period for the Titans, and some were bad drops." That certainly you don't want to hear. And look, Kyrus Jackson is a name we haven't really talked about a lot, but I'm starting to see it more and more. And watching him in practice last week, I was impressed. Watching him in the preseason game, I was impressed. You know, I don't think he's making the team, but, you know, I was talking to Jared a little bit yesterday after everything, and I said, you know, I asked him the question of, with the Spurks injury, you know, what does that mean for the roster and stuff? And he's like, I mean, it's a good problem to have because they got guys capable of making this team and playing in the league, and Kyrus Jackson's one of them. I mean, he's looked very, very good. And, you know, Racy McMath, to me, is falling down the depth chart. And NWI really is too, but again, I think he's going to make it just because he's got experience. But the Vikings were flagged for a few PIs. Here was Ryan Tannehill just kind of talking about the ones versus the ones.
What'd you think of the one-on-one period, Ryan? It seemed like some things were off during that.
Yeah, I mean, we're dealing with a 30-mile-hour wind, so, you know, it's in one-on-one coverage, typically, it's going to be tight coverage, and you got to put the ball in a tight window. You know, they did a good job covering us, and, you know, we got to try to be better with the ball, obviously, just dealing with the elements, trying to play the wind and put it in a good spot. You know, we were able to hit some plays, weren't consistent enough, felt like we had some drops, had some missed throws, and then hit some plays. So, overall, up and down, but good work.
That was Tannehill. Now, you know, I mean, he said the 30-mile-per-hour winds, and look, that's something you're going to have to deal with, but I don't like using that as an excuse, and I kind of felt like he was using that as an excuse a little bit. But, I mean, again, the offense is just going to be a concern until it's not. I mean, that's really the best way to put it. I don't know how else to say it. I mean, it just until I see something different, I can't sit here and go, yeah, I feel really good about it. I mean, there's potential. There's a lot of potential, you know, with obviously Treylon Burks when he's healthy. And by the way, there is a texter. Cameron says, asthma, turf toe, concussion, LCL sprain, that's 1 year. When do we start recognizing that Burks can't stay on the field for more than a couple weeks at a time? I mean, I get it. Like, that is fact. You've stated facts. But, I mean, he didn't plan on that. It's like, it's not like he's doing it on purpose.
I think it's a bit too soon to make that comment.
He got the concussion making a hell of a catch for a touchdown. I mean, so let's cut him some slack a little bit.
Yeah. I think that's a bit too soon making that comment, by the way. I mean, don't get me wrong. Yes, when A.J. Brown was here, everybody was asking, oh, why is A.J. Brown never – he has the fiberglass knees or whatever, like, at the same time, you know?
Right. So, yeah, I'm not going to go that far with the injuries yet. I mean, is it concerning that, you know, we're talking about another one? Sure. But I'm not ready to say that he's injury prone. I mean, it just, some of it's just bad luck, you know? I mean, that's just kind of what it feels like at this point, that it's just some bad luck. And obviously they got to get through that. He's got to get over that. But, you know, the fact that it's an LCL sprain and not an ACL tear or a meniscus tear, that's certainly good news. I don't believe that any of us were expecting that yesterday. So, you know, just kind of keep that in mind. It's a process with him. I know Kyle Phillips stood out yesterday with a pair of catches in 7-on-7 and then in the 2 minute. This was concerning from Jim. It didn't look like running back Derrick Henry had a lot of room to run on several plays as the Vikings celebrated penetration at the line of scrimmage on multiple occasions. That's the offensive line. You know, and again, this is where I kind of thought we were going to be able to tell a good bit about the offensive line, is going up against another team, another defensive front. like the Minnesota Vikings in practice, and doesn't feel like it's great to this point. Texture says you could say that about Farley, not Burks, when talking about injury prone. Yeah, I mean, they drafted him hurt, so I certainly think that is fair. But and keep your comments coming. 615-737-1025. You're always welcome here on the show. Our phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. I think the defense continues to be the story right now, and they were the story of the day yesterday. And so that was certainly some good news. I know that that Jim had a little bit on the quarterbacks, and Levis and Willis as well. But, you know, again, we'll try and talk to Jared. I know he's kind of looking at the schedule. Kirk Cousins supposed to speak around 10:30. So we'll keep you updated on that. But hard to believe we are very, very close to hockey getting started here in the Music City with the Nashville Predators. We'll talk to David Kells coming up next about single game tickets going on sale and what that means. I was at Bridgestone Arena last night for AEW. We will chat with him. Coming up next, Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Hockey season is a little bit further away, but it's close. I mean, training camp's in like a month. That's crazy. We bring in now our good friend, David Kells of the Nashville Predators, the vice president, executive vice president of entertainment and venues. David, good morning. How are you?
Good morning. Sounds like you were here late like I was last night.
I was, yeah. AEW last night. It was really cool. First time ever at Bridgestone Arena. Saw my buddy Jeff Jarrett in a death match, which was pretty crazy. But it was cool. It was cool to have AEW at the arena.
Yeah, it was awesome. And again, we love bringing new events and new types of things for everybody. The crowd was great. Like I said, it went late. It went to about 11:30. So I got a chance to watch some of it towards the end of the night, and it's just fun to see.
So tickets going on sale for single games, individual games for the Predators in about 30 minutes on Ticketmaster. It is hard to believe, but celebrating the 25th anniversary of the Nashville Predators, that is also hard to believe that it's been 25 years. But fans can go and get their tickets, including the home opener on October 12th.
Yeah, like you said. Next 30 minutes, tickets go on sale, and we're running a special for the next 25 hours after that in honor of the 25th anniversary. So there's discounts, 25% off select games. So, yeah, like you said, go to nationalpredators.com, go to ticketmaster.com, check out what's available there, get some savings, and get some select special games here soon.
Yeah, and the other thing, too, you always have different offers, different, like, four packs for family four packs and value packs. What are some other specials that fans can check out this year?
So, yeah, check it all out on the website. But one of the things that we always do that's fun is all the theme nights. We're going to be rolling those out in the next couple of weeks, so check back, look at those. You know, in the past we've done, you know, Star Wars nights, and then our charity nights for Hockey Fights Cancer, and then just the fun, goofy stuff if it's an 80s night or a 90s country night or whatever. So all the things that make Smashville unique and special, we'll be making those announcements soon, too.
Yeah, and I mean, I have to think that there's going to be even more with the 25th anniversary and that celebration, and also, you know, kind of this new era with Barry Trotz coming back as the GM and Andrew Brunette as the head coach.
I mean, it's a story that you couldn't write if you tried. 25th anniversary, obviously, we're all looking back on all the great moments. We bring back two folks who were there on day one. We saw the exciting hockey that we were playing towards the end of last season with the younger players stepping up and really making Bridgestone Arena exciting. And we're looking to just build on that. Brunette, you know, being more of an offensive-minded coach, going to bring some of that go-go attitude towards us with the new players and the young players coming up.
Yeah, David Kells is with us from the Nashville Predators. Tickets go on sale now in about 27 minutes at Ticketmaster.
That quick you can get there. Your quick at math.
Yeah, oh, I know. Individual tickets for the 25th anniversary season, and yeah, you know, it's. I was talking to some people yesterday of just there is that excitement that even though, you know, there's been a lot of changes with the team, Barry taking over for David, and you know, moving some faces that people know. out, but bringing some young faces in. And I think that's exciting to kind of go through that, you know, that reset with this team. And it feels like fans are ready to buy into that.
Yeah, I think it's everybody, fans, players, folks in the front office. We know that just making the playoffs isn't what we want to do. So there needed to be some changes made. We saw some exciting hockey at the end of the year. We're looking to grow on that. I think everybody feels that now. Everybody feels that, oh, this reset or this retoggle of some staff and some faces, like you said, is bringing even more of that excitement. There's that feeling of hope of, oh my gosh, the sky's the limit starting next season. And we're going to come to Bridgestone Arena and have a good time.
You got a lot of cool events other than the Preds coming to Bridgestone Arena, including this weekend. We've been working with the PBR. Stampede Days will be at Bridgestone Arena. What are some other things on the horizon?
Like you mentioned, PBR with the Nashville Stampede, they went to that team's format last year. So there's, you know, folks wearing Nashville colors with Nashville on the front of their rider jerseys, and so that's something cool to root for. And then we're really busy. Next week we have Phil Wickham on the 24th. We have Little Baby coming in September, Rob Zombie, Disney on Ice always makes a comeback, Suicide Boys, Wu-Tang, Chappelle, Avenged Sevenfold, The Chicks, SZA. I mean, it just goes on and on. Because tours know they can come here and be successful because the fans come out for those events. We've got a double back-to-back nights with Thomas Rhett, back-to-back nights with Drake, and then three nights of Fish. I mean, it's just huge. And then, you know, all the stuff that's happening up at the new F&M Bank Arena in Clarksville. We just did three ice up there. It was great to see, you know, frozen water and people on skates playing hockey up there. And then we have, you know, Disney on Ice up in Clarksville, Justin Moore in Clarksville, and Paw Patrol.
Oh, so now you're having to manage multiple buildings because of that.
Yeah, our whole team here at Bridgestone Arena and F&M Bank Arena and National Predators, we've had several meetings over the last couple of days, and it's cool to see everybody in the room together, realizing that we're all one group to support each other, to help each other through everything that you need. So there's not just one person doing all the marketing or one person doing all the sales. It's a massive team of folks who help bring excitement to all corners of the Middle Tennessee.
David, I'm excited about October 23rd when Kiss comes here. I've seen them on probably three of their farewell tours, and now they're coming on another one.
Yeah, you want the best, you got the best, the greatest band in the land. October 23rd, that's another busy week. We've got the Jonas Brothers, three games that week, the 1975, Kiss, Queen, Romeo Santos. It's a packed calendar, but I tell people all the time, Bridgestone Arena is just four walls and some seats, unless we have something awesome happening. And the 25th anniversary is 25 years of Predators memories, 25 years of maybe your first date with somebody special, maybe, you know, a game that you saw with your brother, uncle, you know, sister, whatever. And you created moments and memories like that. And that's the same thing with the concerts is, you know, you come and sing along and cheer and remember those things as you're walking out to Broadway at the end of the night. And that's what makes Bridgestone Arena special. That's what makes the Preds special, is that the personal connection and the experiences that people have here.
I am amazed, though, with all the events that you all have coming in there, how you're able to keep up, you know, with the schedule. And, you know, especially when you have stuff that may happen, like the Chicks had to reschedule their concert, and they did that. But how do you keep up with it all, with trying to bring as many things as possible while also making sure the Predators have ice to play on?
Like I said, it's not just me. There's a group effort. Excuse me. Brittany Hitch in the department helps me keep my head on straight. And we've got this calendar system that goes from now until the end of time, with multiple rooms and, you know, multiple views of things, so we can make sure that we're all on the same page. You know, things like the SEC tournament are here till 2036. That's on the calendar. So we're not scheduling hockey games or anything out that far. But it's fun to see, you know, on my calendar, yellows are potential events and reds are confirmed events. It's awesome to see when those yellows become reds, and, you know, the more and more the days get filled, because not just, you know, the folks who get to come here and have a good time and have a beer and a popcorn and see something cool. It's awesome that, you know, our ushers and ticket takers, you know, get to work and be part of our family, and then it spills over to the excitement on Broadway. You know, the bartenders and everybody out there, they know when there's a Preds game in town, because the night's going to be bigger than the night when there wasn't a Preds game in town.
David Kells is with us from Bridgestone Arena and the Nashville Predators, Executive Vice President of Entertainment and Venues. So Michelle Kennedy is going to go on with the Midday Show to talk about tickets. being on sale. I need you to help me with something. I think she deserves the president Twitter account. We're going to have to wrestle Sean. You know, wrestling was at Bridgestone Arena last night.
So we lost an opportunity, but, you know, wrestling comes 2 to 3 times a year, so I'm sure we'll have another one.
We're going to have to wrestle Sean, and he's going to have to give it up. I mean,
do you have Rock'em Sock'em Robots in the studio? Maybe that route?
That could work for sure. David, looking forward to tickets going on sale. We're now, let's see, quick math, 22 minutes away from them going on sale at Ticketmaster.com. But really, really looking forward to it and everything that you all are doing for the 25th anniversary.
It's going to be an awesome year. There's tons of ways for fans to be involved. Whether it's going to be training camp out at Fordyce and Bellevue, or we might be announcing something for people on ice in Clarksville. Maybe that's coming soon. There's lots of good things around the corner.
Yeah, looking forward to it and working with you all as well. Thanks, David. Appreciate it.
Always good to talk. Have a good night. Or morning, I guess.
You too. David Kells. Bye. David Kells joining us here on the show. And again, NashvillePredators.com, Ticketmaster. You can get Predators single game tickets and the first 25 hours of the sale, you can receive 25% off select seats for Preds home games in honor of the 25th anniversary. So be sure to look at that. NashvillePredators.com. Is he really? Hello, Sean. Sean Henry is on the line with us. What's up?
Yeah, I really am. What do you mean, is he really on? My gosh, my corpse isn't even cold yet. They're like taking the change out of my pocket. Good God.
I knew this was going to get your attention. And that's really the only reason why I do it.
I was just on the phone with Michelle Kennedy, and I hung up. We're both pulling to Fort Ice Center right now for some meetings. And I was like, oh my gosh, I think she set him up for this, man.
Well, I told her, I ran into her last week at the Beer Fest, and I said, maybe you could be like Madam President. And so then it's kind of a compromise.
Well, she's planning something special. We have about 327 people working on it to make sure we can each have our own identity to connect with our great fans and, of course, our friends at 102.5. Well, oh, there she is right now. I can run her over in the parking lot and solve this problem right now.
Don't do that. I don't think that's a good idea at all. But
you can come say hi to her too. Hang on, hey Michelle. She's on the phone though right now. She's too busy for you, dude.
She's making deals. She's working.
She probably is. Yeah, she's making deals. Trademark and president, I think. Chris McCabe and I are on the radio together, Michelle, and he just announced to David Kells that he is petitioning our fan base to take away president.
Wow. That's going to create some real strife in our workplace, and there's a better plan, Chase. Don't push it.
Okay. All right. I'm going to trust Michelle on that, that there is a better plan.
All right, Bubba.
All right. Thank you both. Hey, tickets on sale in 19 minutes.
Amen. Thank you.
Have a good one. Sean Henry making a cameo here on the program. Again, NashvillePredators.com to get those tickets. Coming up next, we go around the National Football League. That was great, actually.
That's radio right there.
Oh, that's radio. We go around the National Football League and look at some big storylines that aren't the Tennessee Titans. We'll do that next. 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Led Zepp bringing us back. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Nick Frazier on the ones and twos. Hope we're having a great day. Appreciate David Kells for joining us. And also that cameo by Sean Henry and Michelle Kennedy. That was good. Tickets on sale in 15 minutes now. For the Nashville Predators, the countdown. Jonathan said, OMG, this is amazing radio. Thank you, Chase. Jonathan. Well, you're welcome. Thank you for listening. Let's take a look around the NFL and some, you know, things going on. Obviously, I believe everybody this year, everybody's going to be paying attention to the Jets. J-E-T-S, Jets, because of Aaron Rodgers. They just signed Dalvin Cook, all of those things. But as I heard, because Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports is at Jets camp, and he was talking about all the fans lining up to come see, you know, Aaron and all of that. But as he pointed out, the question is going to be the offensive line, because if the offensive line can't do their job, then this offense, as great as it is on paper with all the receivers and with the running backs, with Breece Hall and now Dalvin Cook and, of course, Aaron Rodgers, that is really going to slow things down. And so that was something that Aaron Rodgers commented on about the offensive line just building their chemistry.
Oh, I thought we played a lot better up front today. Still missing Dwayne. Lakin didn't practice today. We had Joe at doing some center stuff yesterday. So it's a work in progress. I feel like it was Rich maybe asked a question about the continuity of the guys playing together. And I was thinking maybe we'd start to figure some stuff out. Obviously, it hasn't happened yet. There's jobs up for grabs. That's the beauty in camp, but also the struggle is in talking with, you know, a couple of the guys. We just need some continuity at some point so guys can feel comfortable playing together. Maybe that's the end of next week. Maybe it's the week that we have in between the season and the last preseason game, but jobs are up for grabs.
I kind of feel like that's the same thing here, that, you know, it's just it's a process. You got to keep building the continuity, as Roger said. But I also agree that, you know, if they don't get it figured out sooner rather than later, that it, as, you know, they're Super Bowl, paper Super Bowl champions, that may be all they are. You know, so I think that they certainly need to get that figured out with the offensive line. Now, I mentioned that they added Dalvin Cook, that he is at Jets camp now. They've activated Breece Hall, so we're going to have a 1-2 punch in the backfield. Robert Saleh, their head coach, talked about the running backs as a whole, but also what Cook's role may be.
Nothing we've done isn't without a plan. Even when we talked to Dalvin when he was here, just mapping out our vision of how this running back room would look, talking with Joe and his staff and what our vision would be for the for Dalvin and Breece and Michael and Bam and Izzy, and just how that thing maps out, Crockett and Dye, and just how that room's going to shake out. So we have a plan in place. I think expressing that plan to the players was very, very important to make sure that everybody was on board.
That was Robert Saleh on the running back plan. I like the 1-2 punch. But again, you know, are they going to have blocking up front for them? They are doing everything in their power to bring a Super Bowl to New York, to the Jets, and to win Rodgers one more. He wants to do what Brady did so bad, it's not even funny. I mean, the fact that you have would you call that receiver room? What adjective would you use to describe that receiver room?
Flamboyant.
That's a good one. I like that.
I know that was quick, but it just popped in my head.
Yeah, but I mean, it's pretty talented. I mean, he's, you know, and Rodgers has talked about that, of, you know, the guys that he has in that room, and obviously he's familiar with some of them. Randall Cobb, you know, is with him from the Green Bay. Alan Lazard is with him from Green Bay, so he's got those two guys. But Garrett Wilson is going to be the focal point. Now, I mean, he's even made comparisons to Devontae Adams with Garrett Wilson. But I mean, Mecole Hardman's on that team now. Corey Davis, obviously, as we mentioned. So, you know, they're obviously going to have some tough decisions to make when it comes to the receiver room. But he's got a lot to work with. It's just all going to be contingent on the offensive line and whether or not the Jets can not only win that division but be one of the top teams in the AFC. Another team in the AFC that I think everybody is going to be looking at is the Baltimore Ravens. They went through the saga of Lamar Jackson and getting his contract done. They did that, and they made a couple of moves to maybe entice him a little bit, including the signing of Odell Beckham Jr. Odell missed all of last season. He had the torn ACL in the Super Bowl when the Rams won. And so now he is with the Ravens, and he discussed kind of getting on the same page with Lamar.
I mean, I always knew of him and, you know, never, like, hit him up. And, you know, we didn't talk like that, but it was always a mutual respect from afar. You know, I watched him when he was in college. I watched him when he was here. You know, you have a deep respect for greats. And, you know, the relationship is definitely developing. It's just cool to be able to kick it, you know, on and off the field. And what do you see, or how do you see it? And a receiver always wants to work, you know, for his quarterback. You know, this is a guy who he's going to have to hang in there and take a hit every now and then to get you a touchdown. And you're going to have to take a hit to complete a pass for him. So it's a mutual, you know, relationship that you guys have to have there. So everything is cool. I'm definitely loving that.
I think the AFC North is intriguing. I've said that before. Because I, you know, when we do our official predictions, I will go ahead and let the cat out of the bag. I'm going to have the Bengals winning the division again. And so I think that, because I think Joe Burrow is going to be very much in the MVP talk. But I think so I think they win the division. I would assume Baltimore second. Cleveland, I never know with them. I mean, I've watched a little bit. I watched some of their preseason games. Deshaun looked okay. And then Pittsburgh. I mean, and I'm sure Junie's listening, and I'll get a text in a second. But Pittsburgh is really intriguing because I watched some of their preseason game, and then Jared and I were even texting about this. I think Kenny Pickett's going to be pretty damn good. I really do. And so, you know, they build him an offensive line. They get him weapons. You know, is it this year? I don't know. Because, again, that division is just, you know, is really, really good. But, I mean, George Pickens is a dude. So, I mean, they have that. I don't know. I mean, could Pittsburgh play spoiler, you know, and steal a wild card spot or something? I'm not going to say that they're going to get up there and win the division, but that division's intriguing.
I would say they might have a chance at the third spot in the AFC North. I wouldn't say they finished dead last. I have a weird thought that...
So you think Cleveland could finish last? Or do you think Baltimore could...
I think Baltimore might hit the slump.
Okay, so Baltimore, a few years ago, I said they'd finish last, and everybody said I was absolutely crazy, and they did. If they don't make the playoffs, let's just say that, or they're knocked out first round and they don't win the division, I think Harbaugh could be out. I think it could be time for a change.
Yeah.
Like they're in time for a change mode, potentially. But again, you know, here's Junie. He's going to be damn good. This will be a surprise team this year if health permits. He may be right that they could surprise some people. Like, I'm dreading that game for the Titans on a Thursday night because, one, it's a Thursday night game, and, two, the Titans never seem to play that great in Pittsburgh. So that is certainly – and he says you're right about the Ravens. So that is certainly a concern. Real quick, Anthony – we didn't really talk about this much yesterday. Anthony Richardson is the starter for the Colts. They've already named that. I heard Charles Robinson this morning – saying that he doesn't understand why do it now. I mean, if you want to do it, fine, but it's certainly a Jim Irsay move. Harry Douglas, though, from ESPN, doesn't have a problem with it.
I don't have a problem with the Colts starting Anthony Richardson. We talked about how he didn't have those games under his belt at the University of Florida. He only played and started in 13 of those games. So like Boog just said, the only way for him to get better as a quarterback is to go through those hardships, actually play football and see opposing defenses. And I looked at their first four games of the season. They played the Jacksonville Jaguars, the Houston Texans, the Baltimore Ravens, and the Rams. I think that's a pretty good first four games for a rookie quarterback to be able to start. Also, you believe if you're Jim Irsay and Chris Ballard and Shane Steichen, who had Jalen Hurts, young quarterback in Philadelphia, who also had Justin Herbert, another young quarterback with the Los Angeles Chargers. So when I'm looking at it from that standpoint, you're trusting that your head coach, who is your play caller, is going to be able to protect that guy to a certain degree.
That was Harry Douglas from ESPN. Look, I think it's a mistake. I mean, especially doing it this early. I mean, because you don't want to rattle his confidence. I think he's really talented and can be a player in this league. Obviously, our next guest was very high on him going into the draft, but I would have just started the season with Minshew because, you know, build around him. You know, do things to build around Anthony Richardson, but it's Jim Irsay, so you can never expect to do normal things. So that's how it is. Jared Stillman is in the On Deck Circle. He's going to join us coming up next live from Minnesota as the Titans get ready for day number two of joint practices with the Vikings. We'll talk to him next. Chase McCabe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.